from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Italy, Spain, scoreless. Interestingly, we're into about the seventh or eighth hour of the 11-day power play, also scoreless. The coaches have really, you're talking about Jacques Lemaire trying to be funny. The coaches have really clamped down this year. Yeah. And we were hoping to see a goal at some point. I kind of thought, remember this being pretty casual.
Yeah.
You would see,
well,
you know, goals.
It's tough. One change, and I mean, I feel I have some regret that it's taken us an hour to mention this. They've replaced the actual regular regulation size nets with, like, the little nets from the Czechs hockey game.
Yes.
And so it's, you know, yeah, it's a really small target, especially with the full-size goalie.
Years of making the net bigger talk has resulted in too many goals. Let's shrink it.
Microscopic goals.
Bandits fans think the nets are too small.
Right.
That's how small the nets are this year, the 11-day power play. It's our honor to be here and also to welcome Matt Verderam back to the show. Matt's been on with us a few times talking about the NFL with a focus on Kansas City, SI Now, KCSN as well, that football show, and Matt's show as well on Patreon are the places where you can find him. And again, today, right here with us. Hi, Matt.
How you guys doing?
Good. So we're into the sort of the calm before the storm here with mini camps over and training camp a few weeks away. What are a couple of the top storylines for Kansas City? I mean, as we all know, two-time defending champs. What have Chiefs fans and yourself been thinking about, talking the most about here this offseason?
Well, I think with the Chiefs in particular, you're looking at a few things. I think, number one, who's playing left tackle? That's been kind of the big question, if you will, going into training camp. But that team is probably the only question. I think every other spot, unless somebody gets hurt, you know who's going to be there. I don't think there's any real competitions. But you have Kingsley Suamataia, who they took in the second round. And you have Wanya Morris, who was a third-round rookie last year, who started, I think, with four games. Which guy's going to get the job? It's going to be a situation where there's going to be a rotation probably early on in camp until somebody establishes themselves. But, you know, that is kind of the spot to watch. And then I think overarchingly, look, nobody's ever been a three-peat champion in the Super Bowl era before. They are either favorites or co-favorites, depending on the book you look at, to win it again. I think the kind of the question is with them is just, what's going to stop them? Is it going to be a left tackle spot? Is it going to be injuries? Is it going to be just a bad stretch of football? I mean, what is it going to be? Because when you look at the roster, they're probably better this year than they were a year ago.
Yeah, boy, none of those choices were somebody beats them, right? Like somebody's better than them. They feel almost unassailable, which is crazy in this era of the NFL. Like the fact that they seemed like they should have taken a step back 2 years ago when they traded Tyreek Hill, and then maybe again last year too, they didn't. All they did was win the Super Bowl both years. Like, it's hard to not have your default setting. As much as we know about the NFL and how random it is and how hard it is to just win and win and win, it sort of feels like they are untouchable.
Well, you know, look, like, to your point, obviously there is a randomness to the NFL. It's you know, it's a league that is designed to knock down the best teams. Although, if you look at the last 25 years, it's been New England, it's been Kansas City. That's pretty much been, I mean, yes, every once in a blue moon, Pittsburgh would crop up and win one, or Baltimore, or Indianapolis. But it's been those teams that have won nine of the last 25 Super Bowls. I mean, you know, and been in more than half of them. So, you know, there hasn't been the parity in the NFL that people always seem to just talk about like it's automatic. That being said, you know, you'd be a fool to take the Chiefs over the field. The field has a lot of good teams in it. But, yes, I think there is a sense of they should not have won the Super Bowl last year. They were not the best team. But they were for a month. And they picked the right month to be that best team. There's a lot of competition in the AFC. It's a strong conference. But I think if you're looking at it from the Chiefs' perspective, you're saying, yeah, well, they always beat those teams and it matters. And so it's kind of like all those years in New England where you said, hey, look, I know the odds are they won't win, but if you got to pick somebody, who else are you going to pick? I think that's kind of where we're at with Chiefs right now.
Rashee Rice has got to have been a big topic, too, with the speculation about whether he'll be suspended or maybe it's more likely just for how long. Do you have any particular prediction or expectations on that?
You know, you're right. That has been a huge topic of conversation. I think the general expectation is he's going to get suspended. Is it, you know, somewhere between 4 and 8 games? I think if you took a straw poll of people, I think the general number would be around 6. Look, what he did was absurd. He is going to, at some point, face discipline. One would imagine it'd be pretty stunning if he doesn't. The only question really is does it happen start the year? Does it happen in the middle of the year? Does it happen next season? I mean, there's so many things in the end. I mean, for Rice, he is facing 8 felony counts right now down in Texas. That could take a while. And if it does take a while, if that takes until, let's say, February or March to kind of sort all itself out, does the league wait and suspend him, you know, in 2025. My guess, and it is a guess, is that he'll be suspended to start this season. But is it possible that he's not? Sure. So he's going to eventually face discipline unless something very out of the ordinary happens. It's just a matter of when and then how much. But I think around 6 games is probably likely.
And if it's appropriate to ask, considering the seriousness of what he's facing, how impactful is that for the Chiefs if they're without him for 6 games to start the year? Do they just, the beat goes on because they'll just plug someone else in and Mahomes will make it work?
I think at the risk of sounding callous with something that is extremely serious, they, from their perspective, from a football perspective, if he were to miss the first 6 games of the year, they will just not even react internally. It'll just be, hey, we got Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Travis Kelce, even Cole Hardman. We'll run the ball as Isaiah Pacheco. We'll lean on what last year was the top 3 defense. And we'll see in week 7. Like, as cold and as callous as that sounds, that's how they'll think. And to be frank, that's how most NFL teams think. Like, that's how, you know, now some teams may go out and add a guy based off of their roster. But the Chiefs, you know, this is a team that has dealt with a lot of off-field stuff over this dynasty. I mean, Frank Clark was suspended. Charles Menehu was suspended. Willie Gay was suspended. Tyreek Hill was not suspended, but many thought he was going to be suspended going into the 2019 season. I mean, they have gone through suspensions with major players before and the expectation of suspension of major players before. And they have just, you know, Kareem Hunt was
Kareem Hunt.
Removed from the team. They're used to these situations, as ugly as that is, and I don't think they're going to overreact to it, so to speak. I think they'll just accept it and keep going.
Matt Verderam, our guest here on WGR. Well, there's already been a lot of history, of course, with the Chiefs and the Bills, and an intriguing new chapter, if you will, was written at the draft when the Bills trade their number one pick to Kansas City and the Chiefs draft Xavier Worthy. We were talking about which receiver. It seemed so likely the Bills would pick a receiver, Matt, that we're spending every day going over all these guys, 20 of them maybe. Like, which one will they take? Worthy was a popular idea. Not only did the Bills not pick him, but they basically hand him to the Chiefs. What did you think of that? What do you think of the Bills' gamble here with as much as we know about how random the draft can be and how, you know, tough it is, to put it nicely maybe, for executives, for GMs to correctly predict which guys are the right guys. Still, knowing what has happened between the Bills and the Chiefs, Brandon Bean here made quite a gamble.
Yeah, I remember going on the show with you guys right after the draft saying, look, I thought it was the most surprising thing that happened in the first round other than Michael Penix Jr. Going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
I was floored that the Bills traded with the Chiefs. Now, maybe the Bills end up looking like geniuses. That's totally possible. Maybe Worthy just doesn't pan out, or he's just average, and Keon Coleman becomes an all-pro, and everybody looks back and goes, hey, Bills end up getting moving up a little bit in the latter rounds, and they got their guy. But that is one of those deals that if you're Brandon Bean, you have to have a lot of conviction and guts to do it, because if they see each other in the playoffs and Xavier Worthy's running up and down the field in Arrowhead and Keon Coleman is not a factor, there are going to be a lot of shows like this one the next day going, you could have had that guy, and he just ran up and down the field for 150 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, I guess I was most surprised because, you know, that's like if the Colts had traded with the Patriots 15 years ago and just said, here you go, here's the guy you want. I know people have said, hey, look, the Chiefs could have moved up anyway. Yeah, but they didn't. They moved up at Buffalo. And you don't know. The Niners took a receiver in the first round. Maybe they would have taken Xavier Worthy. So, obviously, we're going to find out how it all plays out. Of course, the Bills traded out when the Chiefs took Mahomes with their pick. So, I mean, there's a lot of history with these two teams. Bills ended up getting their quarterback, so no harm, no foul there in some respects. But, yeah, it was a shocking move. I was shocked the Bills did that.
On one hand, like it ruined my night when they did it. I just it's so in my head, but the Chiefs and everything, the Mahomes trade, the whole, all of it. But you do have to remember, like, it's not like they've got the market cornered on targeting the best receivers. Like, they missed on Sky Moore. They went and traded for Kadarius Toney. At least to this point, they've missed. So, you know, we because we're chasing the Chiefs in Buffalo, I know I am predisposed to, like, the Chiefs want to do it, then I want to do it. It must be the right thing to do because they're the best and we're chasing them and we can't beat them in January when it matters. But the reality of it is they don't know anything you don't know. And so, you know, I kind of respect Brandon Bean for making it as interesting as he's made it, because they, like you just said, we're going to be watching Keon Coleman and Xavier Worthy running, you know, the same race to an extent for, you know, at least the first few years of their career until we decide which one of them is better.
Yeah. And look, that's true. I mean, the Chiefs have had their misses, and God knows, as you mentioned, I mean, look, them winning the Super Bowl last year while starting Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore for 80% of the year deserves its own documentary. I mean, I can't express to people who didn't see every game of the Chiefs last season what a tire fire that was. That was... if it came out that those two guys were taking money from the other side, you would have been like, okay, now I get it.
That makes sense.
Which is why they went out and they got Hollywood Brown and they moved up for Xavier Worthy and they brought back Mecole Hardman. I mean, that's why. Because they went through that nightmare a year ago and you know, they thought MVS was going to be a real player for him last year. And he was in the playoffs, but during the regular season, really struggled. Yeah, it's just, you know, this is a move that with Brandon Bean, look, I to your point, I do give him credit in one respect. Like, that takes a lot of guts. Because if you're wrong, that's one of those things that people look back for 5, 10 years and go, oh, my God, how could you have ever made that move? But, look, he didn't live in fear. He, you know, he made the trade he thought was best for the Bills. And they, you know, that between that and the second trade back they had that night, they got some extra draft capital out of it. And, hey, if you're Buffalo, look, you've been right there. You know, it's not like in these playoff games the Chiefs have just blown Buffalo out. I mean, in two of the three games, those games went down to the wire. And obviously, in 2021, the Bills should have won that game. They just gave it away. But, you know, look, I think nationally there's this thought that the Bills are retooling and are they a playoff team this year? I don't see that at all. I still think the Bills are absolutely the best team in that division. I still think they're going to be there. And I still think there's a very good chance the two teams see each other deep in the playoffs.
Matt, is it, having just said that, maybe that's your answer, but is it Buffalo or someone else that you consider, in the AFC anyway, like the one you would, if you were to worry about a team? I know you tweeted recently a flattering compliment toward Houston and just how young Stroud is and how great he was as a rookie. Maybe yep. Houston would be the team, other than the Chiefs, you'd want to be, to put it one way. Where do you think the biggest threat is to Kansas City?
I think from a purely talent perspective, in the AFC, I think Houston's the most talented team. In terms of just got quarterback, I really like Ryan's. I think they have the coach there. And they've got weapons all over. They've got a really good pass rush. I worry about their back seven a little bit. Stingley's a really good corner, but the rest of those guys, you can throw at them. But they don't have the experience. I know they made the playoffs last year. They beat Cleveland. That's fine. They got hammered by Baltimore. And if they have to go to Arrowhead in an AFC title game, like deep down, if the Chiefs are healthy and they're the team I expect them to be, I don't think Houston will win that game yet. I think my answer is probably the Bengals, just because the Bengals are the one team that they have given the Chiefs a lot of problems, and they know they can beat them. Like, even if they got to go to Arrowhead, they have no fear of playing Kansas City. They are prepared to do it. But with all that as a backdrop to this, look, I think with the Bills, the one thing the Bills have is they have Allen. And Allen can have games where he can match Mahomes. Like, I don't think he's as equal in terms of over the course of years. I think Mahomes has separated himself from everybody in the league. But if you said to me there is one guy for one game who can either play as well or even slightly outplay him, it's Allen. And that's in a one-off. I mean, the NFL, every game's game seven. Every game in the playoffs is that you win, you go on, you lose, you go home. I think the Bills are one of the teams that if you're the Chiefs, you don't want to face them because of that reason.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because Allen could just go nuts, and you might lose because of it.
It makes sense.
How do you feel about Baltimore at this point? Like, they were in the catbird seat, obviously the one seed. Weird game plan last year in that title game, lost to Kansas City. It's a big part of the Chiefs weren't the best team in the league, but yet they won anyway. Where do you see the Ravens? Like, does last year, the failure at home, kind of stick to them, or are they still what they've been?
At the risk of sounding dismissive, I just feel like I've seen this movie with them enough times now. Like, I don't know. I mean, at some point, you got to win the big game. You got to do it. And we've gone through this with years and years and years of evidence now. Baltimore's not going to do it. Everybody, there's a seeming excitement about Derrick Henry. Their problem has never been running the football. They've always run the football. Their problem is they get in the playoffs and they cannot get explosive plays. They cannot get the ball in the passing game consistently enough down the field, and it's killed them. And I think, they lost a lot off that team. I mean, nobody's talked about the fact that team, they lost three starting offensive linemen. And one of those guys is not Ronnie Stanley, who is hurt all the time. He's a great player, but he's hurt constantly. Mark Andrews is still very good, but he's not young. Odell Beckham is gone. Duvernay is one of the better return men in the league. He's gone. He's in Jacksonville. Defensively, Mike McDonald is gone to Seattle. They lost Patrick Queen. They lost Geno Stone. They lost to Davion Klein. That's a lot. That is a lot to lose. And the only guy they really brought in was Derrick Henry. So I still think they're a playoff team. I think they're a good team, but I don't view them. I don't think they're as dangerous as Buffalo. Maybe their floor is higher just because they have a little more continuity and the Bills are kind of reshuffling the deck a little bit. But I think the Bills' ceiling is higher, especially in January. I think the Bengals, if Burrow's healthy, that team's ceiling is higher, and they have a last-place schedule to feast on. The Texans have so much talent. Like, I think Baltimore is a better version of Miami. Where I look at Miami, I say the same thing. Like, why is this going to be different for Miami this year? What's going to change? Every game's going to be played in 90-degree weather? I don't think all of a sudden it's going to be different.
I don't know. It has been in the 90s here this week. I think maybe anything is possible when it comes to weather these days. And the Ravens lost Mike McDonald. No small thing. He got tons of credit last year as their defensive coordinator. Before you go, Matt, I know we've been over the Chiefs' offense and the receivers already. Do you see a year where they know what they've gotten away with here the last couple of years, especially last year offensively, where they're going to be more down the field if the league will allow it? I mean, Brown and Worthy should open that up for them.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like Kansas City has a good chance of being more aggressive, more potent this year than even they've been.
That's their goal. I mean, I think they would tell you that. It's a very weird thing, but they did not enjoy winning the way they had to win last year. That was not fun for them, even though they won the Super Bowl. And obviously the result was fun. That was like pulling teeth from Mahomes. I mean, you look at his numbers and you'd say, hey, kind of down here. I thought last year was maybe the biggest test of him in some regards, because that team, they could not catch the ball. They couldn't run routes. I mean, you would watch them literally up until about week 17 of the season, they'd run into each other. I mean, they couldn't. Famously against Buffalo, they couldn't line up correctly, and it cost them the game. I mean, this was a team that I do think there's a bit of, hey, look, we cannot win again like that. Like, I think the defense is repeatable, the coaching staff's repeatable, but yes, I think there is a certain sense of we have to win differently, A, for our sanity, and B, because last year felt like really threading a needle in a way that is probably not going to happen 2 years in a row.
15th in the league last year in points, Kansas City, but second in points allowed. Matt, always nice to talk to you. Thanks for your time again today.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Matt Verderam, SI Now, and also That Football Show on KCSN. We are still scoreless here in the 11-day power play. Unbelievable. No, it's like 70-60. Something like that, actually. Enough, Mike. Enough. Enough. Some great goals.
There's a respectable level of talent on both of these teams. Like, and you can tell no one's really letting it all out.
Right.
But they all move around the ice like players who like have. They're all good. They're all very good skaters and very talented. A lot of talent on the. I don't recognize anyone other than Mike Lesikowski out here, and I believe his son Liam, who's playing D1 hockey at the University of Maine, was a freshman last year. I think he's out here on the opposing team, but they're all wearing 11, so it's hard to keep them straight. But I'm pretty sure I saw the Maine logo on his helmet out there.
There's no eligibility restraints.
No, it's fine.
If you play at Maine, you're still eligible when your dad is the organizer, your parents are the organizers, and you're allowed to be out there. Could the Sabres play in this?
Yes, they have.
They have played.
Yeah, in fact, the
current Sabres.
Yes. Well, I should pump the brakes on current Sabres. I know there was a year, I don't think Mike will mind me saying this now, that for the final night, they were close to getting Eichel in to play, like whatever that was, 2016, maybe his second or third year here in town. So I think current players have taken part.
Cool. I'll look for some.
Dennis Gilbert of the Calgary Flames.
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert family, Buffalo, big hockey family, St. Joe's. Mike was with the Sabres, his uncle
yep.
for a long time. Dennis is one of the top fundraisers. He'll be playing in one of the games that start at 6:30 tonight. So
awesome.
There's an NHL player, at least one, that I know is playing.
See if you can pick him out. You'd want to think you could. I'd want to think I could. Probably big.
Yeah. That's the thing. It really, like, this game here, there could be 10 guys that are and girls that are on the ice here that play D1 hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't, like I said, they're not going all out, so it's hard. I recognize Liam because I've watched him play for years when he was in town, and I've watched him play since he's been in juniors and at Maine, so I kind of recognize he's a big kid and moves really well and sort of distinctive looking when he moves around the ice, so I like. And then the main logo kind of gave it away.
That helps.
Yeah.
803-0550 if you want to call in, talking about the AFC right there. Also, Jeff Skinner, big topic these days. NHL draft round one is a week from tomorrow night. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at Harbor Center for the 11-day power play. This is WGR.
Lindy has a lot of credibility in this league and a lot of respect in this league from players, agents, other general managers, which he's earned, and that's the great thing for us. So, yeah, I obviously can't give you specifics, but I have had conversations where that exact thing has come up, and the players, or the, not through the teams, have said, or agents have said, yeah, that's certainly a coach that our guy would like to play for.
Kevin Adams today. Paul will join us in half an hour on what he learned from the Sabres GM. That's about, would another player on another team be likelier to waive, to agree to a trade to the Sabres if they had a limited movement clause? And Adams is saying yes. Ruff helps. Credibility, a good reputation. Bulldog, I have a tattered reputation with you, I know, but hopefully it helps me for you to know that I drafted Khalil Shakir today in an underdog draft.
Good. Wow, I'm surprised he was available in round two for you to get your hands on
I couldn't
him.
Wait.
I love it.
9-12, if you're wondering. Pick right. 108.
I wasn't, but good to know.
That's where he went.
Good job. All
today.
Right.
Thought you'd be happy.
Is that your first Khalil Shakir share?
Maybe. I don't. It's probably not the first.
It's hard to keep track.
I don't know. Does that disappoint you? Am I back in the other direction? I have to check the tables.
Sure. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, you're drafting that team of mine. I drafted Allen. So I want a couple of them if I can get other, you know, pass catchers on that team. And I thought Samuel was too expensive. So that's what happened there. Talking with Matt Verderam, I mean, the Bills trade at the draft with Kansas City, as we've all said, and Matt said again today in our conversation, will be on the table for years. If Worthy, he has a big play, big game, you know, whatever it is, Coleman does, there'll be a lot of back and forth on that. And I'm somebody that always is like, trade down, get more picks, you know, the value of that, which, of course, the Bills did there twice. And I would say, you know, in a vacuum, that's to their credit.
Yeah, good job.
Good job. And I'm not setting up to say that, like, this time I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt's line was, you know, who knows? Maybe the Bills will come out looking like geniuses. There's almost no chance of that. They're not going to come out looking like geniuses. They could get away with it. If Coleman is really good, they got away with trading out for Mahomes. You know, they don't look stupid for having made that trade.
No, Allen.
Because of
really,
Allen.
Allen really saved them. Yeah.
So there's no way, though, they're going to come out looking like geniuses. I mean,
well,
Worthy is a total bust?
Yeah, he's Kadarius Toney, or he's, you know, Sky Moore. Like, he just doesn't. He's too small. The skill set does, you know, there's not enough variety in his skill set, or whatever it is. So he busts, and Coleman. If he busts, and Coleman busts, they're not geniuses, but they're certainly not in any trouble, because I mean they're going to get criticized for picking, you know, a guy that busted. But if the guy they traded out of that allowed their big rival to draft that player busts as well, then it's a wash. But if Coleman is good and Worthy is Sky Moore, I mean, Sky Moore's career is not over. He's had two very uneven years.
It's really interesting because it might be.
Okay.
I mean, not over, but maybe over with them.
I just don't mean to use that as such a definitive example of a guy who's washed out already, because it's only been 2 years, so it still could. Right? There are people here hoping Kyrie Elam still turns out to be a player. I mean, that's not a dead idea to me, but you're still kind of like, okay, I invested something in him, I hope it works. So maybe more can still be retrieved. But the point is, there's a scenario. I think you'd get a lot of credit. You'd be have been correct in passing on the guy if he washes out and your guy hits. Then I think, you know, genius might be a little strong, but you know, you're gonna win a lot of points. I think you're gonna look like you did the right thing.
You almost also have to have Coleman separate from all those other guys, McConkie and Mitchell, and you know, even Pearsall and Leggett, who the Bills mm-hmm. could have taken at 27. Okay, you're right. I mean, if Worthy is a complete zero, then we got you, right? That you have that. I was thinking, so that's fair. I was thinking more that my issue with what happened that weekend isn't that they traded down and then again. I just didn't think they got enough out of it. You know, you're trading down because whatever you know about Kansas City's preferences or San Francisco's or eventually Carolina's, I don't know how much the Bills knew about what those teams were going to do. They end up moving, you know, around a couple of different times in the rest of the draft. And like I said then, they were set up to make one more move by having all day Friday to do that. That's what I thought was the biggest benefit of the two moves together, was having all day to take offers. And, you know, you still have, as we saw, a half a dozen or so other receivers that teams wanted. They're moving up to do that. Chargers and the Patriots drafting their guys. I don't know. Like, I don't know what was available to the Bills, but that was the last chess move that, okay, maybe that's only a third-round pick if you do that one. You move down six spots or something like that. But that's not nothing. And, you know, what did they get out of it? They moved up. They got that defensive tackle. If he's amazing, then that'll be a remembered part of the story. If he's not, if he's like most defensive tackles picked on Friday,
just a guy,
then just, you know, yeah, why bother? Ultimately, that's where I think almost the best the Bills can expect to do in the public perception of all that is to get away with it, not to crush the Chiefs and look like, you know, quote, geniuses.
Right, yeah. They need Worthy to really be bad for them to get to crush, right? Yeah, and for Coleman to be good. Like, both of those things would have to happen. If they're both really good, it's sort of like Allen and Mahomes. If they're both really bad, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, it's really the inverse of Allen and Mahomes because they're both great, but you're on level footing with them. Like, nobody really won, nobody really lost. You're sort of like, we both kind of pick crappy receivers. That sucks for us for right now. But, yeah, I mean, I think I'd love to know, as you're talking here, like, why that didn't happen. Like, was 34 so important 33. Sorry.
Right?
I don't know. In my head, I thought there was an extra pick or something. All right. I know how many teams there are in the league.
In my draft, there's often an extra pick. But okay. I don't think all in right. that one.
So was, like, moving down again, like, how important was Coleman to them? I mean, we know he was the pick, and we know how teams talk about the guys they pick. But was that their guy when they made the first trade with the Chiefs?
I would say yes.
Like, we trust that you're coming up here not for him, for someone else, so we don't care about the other guy because our guy, we like our guy, and we're comfortable moving, and we're comfortable moving again. But maybe once they're at 33, I think there's been something about New England maybe was sniffing around Coleman, so maybe they were worried if they got out of there and even moved down a couple of spots that New England, whether they facilitated the trade with New England or not, if they moved down more than one spot, that New England maybe, or some other team, would just come in and get their guy. So, you know, you go through that, you make the trade with the Chiefs, you make the second trade with Carolina, and, you know, there are all these other receivers going, but your guy's still there. Maybe you just don't want to risk it one more time.
I think that's all right.
So
that's, I think, the most logical guess is that, I mean, Coleman, it maybe is different or sounds different on the inside, but we spent hours and hours on it, and Coleman was plus money to go in the first round. Like, the Bills probably thought that the odds were pretty good that they could make it
right
to round two for Coleman. And at that point, everything you said, you know, possible other suitors, New England, and the discussion and the perception of all that had happened already, making the trade with the Chiefs, then making a second trade, like, all right. You know, I think probably, this is my guess, that at that point they felt like, all right, that's enough, and we'll get a guy that we can represent as good as those guys, mm-hmm. and then have the extra draft capital, and that could look like a win. I think that's probably what happened. You know, you also have, and I haven't figured out yet what to do with this, but just, you know, the pros and cons of picking a player in round two instead of round one. You know, money's a little easier, but you don't get the fifth-year option. Just, you know, people talk about the player. I've been interested in this differently. He's a second-round pick. You know, I mean, that's just a very different distinction than a guy picked in the first, even if it's a difference of one pick, as we know. So much to talk about with that. And once we get going, and Worthy plays on the Thursday night against Baltimore, and then Diggs plays for Houston, and our own team, and Coleman, and everything else. What? Just, it'll be interesting.
We'll start getting answers.
We'll start getting answers. That's it, exactly. Paul Hamilton will have the answers. He does. That'll be in just over 15 minutes. We're at Harbor Center today for the 11-day power play. Mike and Amy Lesikowski, the co-founders of this wonderful event that's become an absolute vital, important part of summers here and all the money that they've raised. I mean, more than $10 million over the years. Just so cool. We'll have Mike, if not Amy, as well with us next hour after Paul stops by. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is WGR. Contest time. Be caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR 4947. To win a pair of tickets to see Dirty Heads Saturday, July 6th at OLG Stage, Falls View Casino, 8 p.m. Eastern, and a $100 dining voucher for Overtime Sports Lounge. Must be at least 19 to win. For tickets, visit fallsviewcasinoresort.com. Again, the number 716-221-4947. What are the Patriots doing signing Ramondre Stevenson to $17 million guaranteed, up to double that or more, over the next 4 years? Why, with seven whys and seven question marks and four exclamation points? I'm asking.
Got to spend your money somehow.
Yeah.
I guess, right? I mean, they don't have any receivers they're paying. They don't have – I guess they dipped into free agency for a couple of tight ends a couple of years ago, and Henry is still there, right?
Henry is still there.
But they're not paying a quarterback. They're not paying anybody. Matthew Judon maybe has a contract. I don't know. Like, but, yeah, that's look, almost any running back contract has the capacity to kind of blow my mind. But this guy, I mean, I don't dislike him as a player.
I think he's good.
But I think he's kind of a guy.
Like all the running backs.
You're right. I don't think there's anything special about him, really. I mean, he runs hard. He's good size, physical, whatever.
Catches it.
Yeah, but
He made a big play to beat the Bills in that game
in
Foxborough, Stevenson.
The big play of that drive that got them going was a little swing pass to him, right?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know.
Your answer sounds like a joke, but I think it's the right answer. I'm not saying you meant it as a joke.
They don't have anybody else to pay, yeah.
You got to pay somebody, and Stevenson's a nice player on a team that really it's so unclear if anybody else is good. At least this year, there's a chance that other guys are good because they have drafted. They drafted two receivers. They drafted Drake May, who I am kind of high on. May, just all these guys. I mean, Daniels gets the most, rightly so, gets the most attention for his running because he is a spectacular runner.
Yeah,
Jaden Daniels, and you know maybe has a good chance of going over 1,000 yards for Washington. May won't do that, but he scored a ton of touchdowns on the ground. So did Bo Nix. Like, they're all good athletes. McCarthy's okay. McCarthy doesn't sound like he's doing great. You hear Greg Cosell with Ross on McCarthy?
No.
It's like, he's not ready, and no one I talk to thinks he's ready. Something like that, Cosell said about McCarthy. He seems the most dubious.
Yeah.
I mean, Williams, of course, is going to play. Daniels is definitely going to play. I think Nix is going to play week one.
Yeah.
Penix isn't.
Right.
Because of the situation, but he could have gone to the Raiders and started week one.
And May probably isn't going to play.
May, yeah, I think likely scenario is they give Brissett the start of the season, and then it gets to a point where why not? Go, like, you know, week six or something like that for Drake May might be my guess.
No. I'm not as high on him. I like Daniels a lot. I like Penix Jr. a lot. May, I'm just... It definitely could work. I am just a little worried that there's like the easy Josh Allen comparisons, and that's a very high bar to clear. Like athleticism, I feel like it's similar, but it's maybe not at the level you need it to be for it to really be impactful. Like you ran effectively in college. Okay, do that in the NFL. You have good enough arm in college to make all the throws. Okay, do it in the NFL. Like I'm worried he's like a little like bargain store Allen, and I don't think you can be bargain store at that level. So I mean, again, Allen's at an incredibly high level, and if Drake May slides in somewhere a few rungs below there, that still could be a real big hit for New England. But I'm just a little worried about, you know, loving the traits so much that you think you can translate it into another Josh Allen, and I'm just.
You're not going to criticize him for trying, though.
No, not at all.
That's what you should do.
Yeah, you should take a shot. Sure.
Allen did not have the, like, this has always been part of my story with him, is like, I didn't see the running element coming, thinking like there was this incredible weapon in this way with the Bills. He ran for more touchdowns last year than he did in his entire college career. So it's different than even Nix. I mean, Nix played 14 years of college football, so it's not even fair. Allen played, you know, basically two at Wyoming, two and a smidge of a third. Let's take a break. Paul Hamilton will join us. We'll recap some of Kevin Adams' comments today, what will happen with Jeff Skinner and the rest of the Sabres offseason. Coming up next, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at Harbor Center. This is WGR.
Was 34 so important? Was 34, right?
33.
Sorry.
Right?
I don't know. For me, in my head, I thought there was an extra pick or something. All right. I know how many teams there are in the league.
In my draft, there's often an extra pick. But okay. I don't think in that one.
So, was, like, moving down again, like, how important was Coleman to them? I mean, we know he was the pick, and we know how teams talk about the guys they pick. But was that their guy when they made the first trade with the Chiefs?
I would say yes.
Like, we trust that you're coming up here not for him, for someone else, so we don't care about the other guy because our guy, we like our guy, and we're comfortable moving, and we're comfortable moving again. But maybe once they're at 33, I think there's been something about New England maybe was sniffing around Coleman. So maybe they were worried if they got out of there and even moved down a couple of spots that New England, whether they facilitated the trade with New England or not, if they moved down more than one spot, that New England maybe or some other team would just come in and get their guy. So, you know, you go through that, you make the trade with the Chiefs, you make the second trade with Carolina, and, you know, there are all these other receivers going, but your guy's still there. Maybe you just don't want to risk it one more time.
I think that's all right.
So
that's, I think, the most logical guess is that, I mean, Coleman, it maybe is different or sounds different on the inside, but we spent hours and hours on it, and Coleman was not, Coleman was plus money to go in the first round. Like, the Bills probably thought that the odds were pretty good that they could make it
right
to round two for Coleman. And at that point, all everything you said, you know, possible other suitors, New England, and the discussion and the perception of all that had happened already, making the trade with the Chiefs, then making a second trade, like, all right. You know, I think probably, this is my guess, that at that point they felt like, all right, that's enough. And we'll get a guy that we can represent as good as those guys, mm-hmm. and then have the extra draft capital, and that can look like a win. I think that's probably what happened. You know, you also have, and I haven't figured out yet what to do with this, but just, you know, the pros and cons of picking a player in round two instead of round one. You know, money's a little easier, but you don't get the 50-year option. Just, you know, people talk about the player. I've been interested in this differently. He's a second-round pick. You know, I mean, that's just a very different distinction than a guy picked in the first, even if it's a difference of one pick, as we know. So much to talk about with that. And once we get going, and Worthy plays on the Thursday night against Baltimore, and then Diggs plays for Houston, and our own team, and Coleman, and everything else. What? Just, it'll be interesting.
We'll start getting answers.
We'll start getting answers. That's it, exactly. Paul Hamilton will have the answers. He does. That'll be in just over 15 minutes. We're at Harbor Center today for the 11-day power play. Mike and Amy Lesikowski, the co-founders of this wonderful event that's become an absolute vital, important part of summers here and all the money that they've raised. I mean, more than $10 million over the years. Just so cool. We'll have Mike, if not Amy, as well with us next hour after Paul stops by. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is WGR. Contest time. Be caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR 4947. To win a pair of tickets to see Dirty Heads Saturday, July 6th at OLG Stage, Falls View Casino, 8 p.m. Eastern, and a $100 dining voucher for Overtime Sports Lounge. Must be at least 19 to win. For tickets, visit fallsviewcasinoresort.com. Again, the number 716-221-4947. What are the Patriots doing signing Ramondre Stevenson to $17 million guaranteed, up to double that or more, over the next 4 years? Why, with seven whys and seven question marks and four exclamation points? I'm asking.
Got to spend your money somehow.
Yeah.
I guess, right? I mean, they don't have any receivers they're paying. They don't have – I guess they dipped into free agency for a couple of tight ends a couple of years ago, and Henry is still there, right?
Henry is still there.
But they're not paying a quarterback. They're not paying anybody. Matthew Judon maybe has a contract. I don't know. Almost any running back contract has the capacity to kind of blow my mind. But this guy, I mean, I don't dislike him as a player.
I think he's good.
But I think he's kind of a guy.
Like all the running backs.
You're right. I don't think there's anything special about him, really. I mean, he runs hard. He's good size, physical, whatever.
Catches it.
Yeah, but
he made a big play to beat the Bills
in that game
in Foxborough, Stevenson.
The big play of that drive that got them going was a little swing pass to him, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Your answer sounds like a joke, but I think it's the right answer. I'm not saying you meant it as a joke.
They don't have anybody else to pay, yeah.
You got to pay somebody, and Stevenson's a nice player on a team that – really, it's so unclear if anybody else is good. At least this year, there's a chance that other guys are good because they have drafted. They drafted two receivers. They drafted Drake right. May, who I am kind of high on. May, just a all these guys. I mean, Daniels gets the most, rightly so, gets the most attention for his running because he is a spectacular runner.
Yeah,
Jaden Daniels, and you know maybe has a good chance of going over 1,000 yards for Washington. May won't do that, but he scored a ton of touchdowns on the ground. So did Bo Nix. Like, they're all good athletes. McCarthy's okay. McCarthy doesn't sound like he's doing great. You hear Greg Cosell with Ross on McCarthy?
No.
It's like, he's not ready, and no one I talk to thinks he's ready. Something like that, Cosell said about McCarthy. He seems the most dubious.
Yeah.
I mean, Williams, of course, is going to play. Daniels is definitely going to play. I think Nix is going to play week one.
Yeah.
Penix isn't.
Right.
Because of the situation, but he could have gone to the Raiders and started week one.
And May probably isn't going to play.
May, yeah, I think likely scenario is they give Brissett the start of the season, and then it gets to a point where why not? Go, like, you know, week six or something like that for Drake May might be my guess.
No. I'm not as high on him. I like Daniels a lot. I like Penix Jr. a lot. May, I'm just... It definitely could work. I am just a little worried that there's like the easy Josh Allen comparisons, and that's a very high bar to clear. Like athleticism, I feel like it's similar, but it's maybe not at the level you need it to be for it to really be impactful. Like he ran effectively in college. Okay, do that in the NFL. You have good enough arm in college to make all the throws. Okay, do it in the NFL. Like I'm worried he's like a little like bargain store Allen, and I don't think you can be bargain store at that and be at that level. So I mean, again, Allen's at an incredibly high level, and if Drake May slides in somewhere a few rungs below there, that still could be a real big hit for New England. But I'm just a little worried about, you know, loving the traits so much that you think you can translate it into another Josh Allen, and I'm just.
You're not going to criticize him for trying, though.
No, not at all.
That's what you should do.
Yeah, you should take a shot. Sure.
Allen did not have the, like, this has always been part of my story with him, is, like, I didn't see the running element coming, thinking, like, there was this incredible weapon in this way with the Bills. He ran for more touchdowns last year than he did in his entire college career. So it's different than even Nix. I mean, Nix played 14 years of college football, so it's not even fair. Allen played, you know, basically two at Wyoming, two and a smidge of a third. Let's take a break. Paul Hamilton will join us. We'll recap some of Kevin Adams' comments today, what will happen with Jeff Skinner and the rest of the Sabres offseason. Coming up next, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at Harbor Center. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.